You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 025 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show here on KFGO.com. Of course, we are on iTunes as well. Daniel Pinto Gunderson here with Brad the White Shadow Jones. You can find me on Twitter at PintoKFGO. You can find Brad Jones, the co-host, on Twitter
at the Bison Guy.
Facebook us. You can drop us an email at pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. And, of course, comment on our KFGO.com podcast page. Marcus from Mayville, he's back this week with some interesting NBA nuggets.
I like it.
Okay, so we will get to that all in due time. Christmas, Brad Jones, how was it for you? Did you get skin color? Did you tan up a little bit? Is that what happened to you? Is that what you asked for?
I did
Christmas?
Not get that particular Christmas wish. No, that's it's 28 years and counting now that I'm still waiting for that one.
That's
but,
sad.
No, it was a really good Christmas. Got a little bison wall hanging that for my apartment that I'm really excited about, and a new jacket, and
okay.
A fantasy football championship.
I see you brought the belt.
You know, it's I had to bring it back just for you. But the champ is here. Just saying.
That's good.
Just saying.
We'll have to check out. Maybe you'll be taking that thing home with you because of the ongoing wager. And
well, it was my boss's goodbye party.
Goodbye,
tonight.
Boss.
Yeah. And. So there's a couple of my coworkers that had not yet seen the belt.
Okay.
And this was big talk around the office.
Yeah, I was going to say the belt has an office well,
to
following.
To be fair, there is, because there's four of the people that are in the league work in the office.
Oh.
So there's a tie in there.
Okay.
And they wanted to see it, so they asked me if I would walk through Rhombus Guys wearing the belt today. And so I did.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Why am I still single? I don't understand.
I honestly have no idea either.
I don't get it.
What's up, ladies? Say hello to the belt.
If you're looking for a guy that has a fantasy football championship pro wrestling
yeah,
style belt.
It goes by the nickname White Shadow.
Except the Bison Guy.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on? Wow. Well, I got a pretty amazing gift for my girlfriend this Christmas.
She's going to continue dating you.
Well, that was one of them.
Okay.
But let's just say this for all of you listening. It's right.
Okay.
Okay, that's a hint.
That's a hint.
Should be a pretty good hint.
It should be a pretty good hint. Did she get you, like, the movie set?
Ooh. Yes.
Hey, look at that.
Bond. James Bond.
On Blu-ray.
Wow.
Yeah, what's up?
I love it. I love it.
The entire set on Blu-ray, and I got it for Christmas. Got an opportunity to fall asleep to Goldfinger. Came back from a co-worker's party one night. And I was just thinking, you know what, I want to pop this in, I want to break it out, let's watch some Goldfinger, which one of my favorites, and I fell asleep to it, but it was still so nice and cuddly, it's almost like I was wrapped up in a blanket, I was so happy.
Yeah.
So
I actually, for Christmas one year from an ex-girlfriend, I was given the James Bond Encyclopedia.
You brought that in, didn't you?
I did, actually, when we did the 007 podcast. I did,
yes.
Yeah. So,
yes, you brought that in.
Fantastic.
Obviously way better than the girlfriend.
I'm going to have no comment on that one,
but I did
very much enjoy the James Bond Encyclopedia.
Okay, well, good. I have to say hi to Michael Howe and Adam Sprengler,
yeah.
Just because Merry Christmas to those guys. I feel like they should be included because I've talked to Michael Howe, and I know Adam Sprengler called me like 3 weeks ago, and I still have yet to get back.
Yeah,
so
I think we were actually sitting here
yes,
when he
we
called
were.
You.
Yeah, yeah. I really need to call him back because it's obviously – I'm still here, so he needs to know that I still actually want to talk to him. Well, we'll move on from that topic. Anyways, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year's, and let's get to the start of this podcast, and we'll start with the... let's turn Voice Guy on here first.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Wake him up.
Local.
There it is. Hey, Voice Guy. So, local, and we'll go ahead, full disclosure, this podcast is going to be pretty impactful... Impactful. Sure.
We're going to make you change your life.
That's what we're going to
do. Four simple steps, and we will get you on the right path.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to change your life. Or we're just going to talk about some pretty broad topics. NDSU, of course, will be the first one, the football team. Then we'll move on from there. We'll talk coaches, and that will tie in with regionally because Leslie Frazier going down. We'll talk NFL playoffs. and we'll address the NBA. This is in the late edition of the podcast. Works out perfectly because NFL playoffs have been set. So we'll get to all of that in due time. First, like Voice Guy said, local topics. North Dakota State University Bison football team. And it's Towson University. It's the national championship week. Frisco, Texas. There's so many things that we can start with here, Brad. I want to start with this, and we might just rapid fire through a lot of topics. I'm thinking of 10 or 11 off the top of my head, which is a lot. We'll start with over Christmas vacation, over Christmas break, December 20th, 21st, 22nd, around that time period, NDSU head coach Craig Bohl, NDSU offensive coordinator Brent Vegan took a trip to Orion to visit the Wyoming quarterback Brett Smith, because it was coming out that he was going to declare early for the draft, which he did, and he had a year of eligibility left, declared early for the draft, but they went out there to talk to him, maybe try to convince him to stay. The reason I bring it up is because some people got a little bit upset about that because they felt he wasn't concentrating enough on the team. Deal or no deal?
Ooh, you just go all Howie Mandel on me there. I like that.
Yes.
No deal.
And why?
I don't know that you can really question the preparation of a Craig Bohl team ever. Now, granted, he's obviously has never been the head coach of two schools at the same time before, but to take a probably what amounted to a day trip out to look at and chat with a player when you have an extra week in between when you have 2 weeks between games, I just don't think that's a big deal. I don't think that this team is going to come in unprepared because Craig Bohl and Brent Vegan went out to do that.
Right.
And I think any sort of insinuation that this team is not going to be prepared because of that is just absurd.
Feels like almost you're making things up.
Yep. You're looking for something.
Drawing for straws or drawing at straws, essentially. Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And this guy, the quarterback Smith, looking at some of the tweets that beat writers from Wyoming are putting out there, he's talked to scouts. They've talked to scouts. This guy is evidently like Johnny Manziel without the off-the-field issues. His talent, I don't know how to put it, his package talent-wise is that of a Johnny Manziel. He can run. He can move out of the pocket. He can throw. He can kind of make things up. So my guess is that scouts were telling him, come out now. Because if you're already projected, and according to some scouts, projected between the second and fourth round, somewhere in there, if you're already projected that high as a quarterback from Wyoming...
Yeah, you're not going to go up much higher than that.
But you'd think with maybe another year, and if your skill set is such that you're a Johnny Manziel type, you might get noticed a little bit more. If you had a senior year out of the Mountain West, the reason I think he's leaving is because of Bohl and Vegan. And not... I don't want to say I'll say because of them, because their style of offense is much different and wouldn't allow for the type of plays that he's willing or looking to make. Legs with his speed, creating in the pocket. And NDSU's offense is a West Coast offense. They want to run the ball 60% of the time. If they have leads, 75% of the time. You don't allow for a lot of creativity out of the quarterback spot in the Bison offense. Scouts probably looking at it go, historically, Bohl and Vegan, West Coast, pound it out, ground and pound. You're just not going to get an opportunity to show yourself. People know of you now. This is the peak of your popularity. The only way you can go from here, barring a miracle, and especially with the new coaches coming in, is down. That's why I think he probably went in early.
Or at least it was
the deciding factor.
I don't know anything about the kid, and hate to make, I don't want to make any, here's why I think this happened, when I've never talked to the kid, never read anything about it. I mean, I don't like doing that because I don't think that's fair to him. But I'm sure that not even just who is coming in, not the fact that it's, Bohl and Vegan coming in, but the fact that you're going to have to learn a new system, and there might be some growing pains along with that may not highlight your... that may not highlight your strengths. I could see that playing a part in it. Regardless of what the system is.
Another thing that came out while everybody's on Christmas vacation, Christmas break, what have you, NDSU head coach, and we're going to take this from Bison Info, bisonnation.info. John Neese does a great job of putting these things together. And I'll give full credit to him. Talked about Cowboys have offers from three recruits that currently are NDSU recruits as well. Romel Hill, Takari Carpenter, and John Jackson. Now, people are becoming upset because, well, he's contacted these recruits about coming to Wyoming, even though he's recruited them when they were NDSU recruits, essentially. The people have issue with it because, well, he said he wasn't going to recruit, or it says in his contract he can't recruit. However, a good part of this contract is pulled out and highlighted, and I'll read it in full. Coach shall not for a period of 1 year after such termination, remember that word, by coach contact or otherwise seek to recruit any high school athlete previously contacted or recruited by NDSU, unless such athlete has been recruited or contacted by the coach's new employing institution prior to the noise, termination, so on and so forth. Okay. After termination as the coach.
I think, well.
So he hasn't been terminated as NDSU's coach.
I don't think that's the, I mean, that's not really the word that, to me, that doesn't stand out at all. But I would say it's more as that the contract was terminated, which it has been. Contract's null and void.
So he's not getting paid for anything right now? Because you still have to get paid for the games you're coaching, so his contract would still be intact, correct?
I don't think, unless you think Coach Bowl is pretty sleazy, that he would use that to just, I'm going to go full bore at every single other NDSU recruit.
I don't think it's every single other, but I think there's probably some choice where he goes, yeah, these guys would work at Wyoming. And he uses this loophole.
The loophole in there isn't the termination. It's, well, the fact that unless they'd been contacted previously by that school, and they had been. If there's three guys that had been contacted by Wyoming previously, then it says right there. That, I think that's the part. I think you're completely missing it there.
Yesterday, Bull took time to call three current high school athletes who currently have NDSU offers and offer them full rides to Wyoming.
I thought you had said that they were contacted by Wyoming.
No, he contacted them for Wyoming as far as, I'm going to be the coach of Wyoming. He can contact them because he's still an employee of NDSU, and technically they're NDSU recruits, his recruits.
Okay, that change. I apologize that I misunderstood you there.
So it doesn't necessarily mean he has to recruit them for NDSU.
It'd be a little disappointing if he did use that to do that.
And I'm getting this from bisonnation.info.
And I was going to say, and I'm not familiar with these folks, so.
And this is all according to him. Now, again, you hear a lot of people, this is out there, they get upset at hearing this stuff.
That part I would be a little disappointed, because if that's true,
the question would be, would you put it past him to do it? And I'll say no, because he's a head coach. And I know that's a strong statement to make, but
it's not exactly an honest business in a
lot
of ways.
It is not an honest business. And when you're trying to get ahead as quickly as he needs to get ahead in this job, he has 5 years. That means
this senior class,
this recruiting class that he gets in, and then next year's are going to be the class that he builds his program off of. He already knows how good these players are. He knows them inside and out. You find loopholes sometimes that work to your advantage. Not to mention, it seems to me that it would make sense. If I'm Craig Bull, I would do the same thing, frankly, because I'm just looking to get ahead at my next job. I don't feel like it's a good way to go about it. I don't.
Like I said,
if it's disappointing,
I hate to go off speculation like that.
Right.
It makes me a little uncomfortable until I see somebody from one of the major news networks pick up on it.
Right.
I really do.
Right. No, I completely hear you. I do. If it's true. But again, even if it's not true, I don't think that any coach, being and hearing about college football long enough, I don't know if any coach is above doing such stuff, finding loopholes in contracts or whatever to get ahead.
I can't disagree. I mean, you know, I was out for dinner here a little bit ago, we were talking about how coaches would, would say, oh, you know what, I'm not leaving, with Bill O'Brien at Penn State. you know,
Nick Saban
goes through, you know, Bill O'Brien goes through this and says, yep, but we're going to take you through this terrible time. And he stays for 2 years and he's gone. And one of my
supposedly, but even
you
so,
know, but I mean, even the fact that it's he's at least having those conversations, and it's, you know, one of the my coworkers was very, very disappointed by that, and I was kind of like, I'm kind of numb to it at this point.
Exactly, and that's why I would say this. I'm numb to it, like yeah. you are, if it is true. Now, again, BisonNation.info is the John East, the guy is putting it out there. If I mean, I've looked at this site before; they're pretty decent, they're pretty accurate on what they get their stuff from.
Okay,
so. I'll give you credit saying that you won't buy into it until a major network, if you will, put something out there. But, you know, worth fodder as sure. we lead into this Towson sure. University championship game, because now it's we're building up to, okay, this is the final goodbye for NDSU. Who are fans going to be more remembering of at the end of this season, regardless if NDSU wins this game or not? Are they going to remember this as the last year for these 24 seniors, or are they going to remember it as the last year for Craig Bull?
Craig Bull.
Why?
Because he's been here 11 years, and the players have been here four or five, four that we've seen them. And I think, I think it just comes down to those simple numbers, because you've got more memories built up of Craig Bull. You've got memories of him beating Minnesota. You've got memories of him... beating Kansas,
right?
The Kansas. National championships,
yeah, okay.
The Kansas State. You've got memories of Craig Bull for the last 11 years, and you've got memories of the players for four. And that's why in college programs, just in general, I mean, when you think of Alabama, who are the two people you think of?
Bear Bryant, Nick Saban.
There you go. I mean, it's college sports is a coach's game.
You're right.
So as much as you want to say the players. The talented players come and go. You will remember them, but you remember there were louder cheers, I think, for Craig Bull than anybody else. And I think that's yeah.
In any other situation, I've said that a lot with this team. In any other situation, I agree with you, but I don't in this case. I think it'll be the 24 seniors because they are such a special group. I don't know if I've been a part or seen something so relevant to fans where they can name a majority of the players on the team. And you're right.
But part of that is you're living in the you're in the moment of it right now.
I understand that. And it's a tough question to answer because 5 years from now
even 20 years from now when it was it in the late 80s, was it Ventrum or was it Sim Dorn? And I apologize for getting them mixed up here, but they had one of the running backs there as well, that Stark, I think, who had amazing careers.
Right.
And you know, you remember Rocky.
You do to a point, but you do remember those players. The question would be, what is going to be remembered more? That was the yeah. question. What is going to be remembered more? You say Bull. I say the 24 seniors because I get he's been here 11 years, but you have to understand what these 24 seniors have done has been pretty unprecedented. And I say 24 seniors as a group. You pretty much can boil it down to a handful of them. Rock Jensen, Billy Turner, Grant Olson, Marcus Williams,
yeah.
Ryan Smith, Sam Ojuri. Those guys will be remembered. Levon Perry, I think, maybe a little bit. But those guys will be remembered. To me, those 24 seniors their last season, Kansas State, that will all be put above Craig Bull in 5 to 10 years, and that's what they'll be talking about.
And I just... Because even, you know, you go back and you look at, you know, the Florida teams. They had Tebow, so that changed it a little bit. But, oh, yeah, that's Urban Meyer's Florida teams. That was 6, 7 years ago. I mean, they're Urban Meyer's teams. You know, you look at the national the Miami Hurricanes, the national championships. Oh, yeah, that was Jimmy Johnson's teams. You remember the coaches. You'll remember a couple of the players that are special. But overall, it always immediately goes to the coaches in college. It just does.
The other part that I think the seniors would rise above Coach Bull is because he took the job at Wyoming. And I think that's going to put a little bit of a damper on some of the fans that he didn't. you know, see out the whole season. They, fans are going to feel that way. They are. Don't shake your head at me. That's how they're going to feel.
That's how they feel now. That's how they feel now. That's not how they'll remember it 10 years from now.
I feel like
it's the same thing with Urban Meyer. I mean, he had the one of the dirtiest programs as far as arrests go. In the country,
right?
He's having health issues, and he kind of disappears for a while. But people remember those as Urban Meyer's Florida teams. You can name one, maybe two players off of that team if you're not in Florida. And it's Craig Bohl's team.
Okay, let me do some testing for you then.
Okay,
who coached the Miami National Championship team when they beat Nebraska?
When they beat Nebraska,
because the next year they lost to Ohio State.
I have no idea, but I couldn't name a player off that team either.
Willis McGahee, Ken Dorsey.
The only reason I remember McGahee was watching his knee get bent backwards.
Right. They had a lot of talent on that team. I want to say Andre Johnson.
Okay.
I think it was Larry Coker was the guy who coached
them. There you go. Yep.
But again, there are some teams that you can look at players that are going to evaluate or put themselves above.
But you're talking about Larry Coker, you're talking about a very small window, and he's not remembered anywhere near the top of the best coaches in Miami history. Craig Bohl is the best coach in the history of NDSU.
Yeah, this is true. There is no argument there. Speaking of best in NDSU history, this team, if they go, and we're playing a lot of ifs, we're kind of leading up to the Towson game.
And we should let's hang on to that
question, because I will ask it in this podcast, but I want to ask it after we talk about Towson.
Okay.
What about them scares you?
I mean, their defense actually might put up a fight, unlike the last couple of teams that we've played.
Right.
I think there's a little bit of that. Obviously, I mean, you know, Terrence West has to worry you a little, but I don't know. There aren't a lot of running backs that really scare me a whole lot. And so, I mean, I think he has to a little bit, but
not a lot.
I was going to say, I'm not overly concerned about that. And it's if they can force a turnover. I mean, if they can force a couple of turnovers and hang on, that's about it. But I don't know. Is that bad? That really nothing concerns me too much.
About this team, no, because as we've said before, these teams that NDSU is playing in the playoffs, they don't scare you because offensively they've got this going on for them, they have that going on for them, but it's defensively. And you're right, Towson is one of the best teams when it comes to creating sacks, tackles for losses. Yep. They're one of the best teams in the NCAA at the FCS level at that, I believe something like 41 sacks. They have a ton of guys on there with like 6 sacks, 7 sacks, 5 sacks. They'll put a lot of pressure. They take a lot of chances. And that's the problem, is that NDSU is going to be prepared for something like that and go, okay, here's how we counter. NDSU is such a great fighter in the fact that they know how to counter your best punch. And they do it so well by bracing themselves in that first half. I think of Furman. And they came into that game, took Furman's best punch in that first half, and then just destroyed him in the second half.
And the other thing I will say, too, is as far as the schedule goes, I bet no one's played a tougher schedule than Towson.
Towson's played a very deep, tough schedule.
They play at Connecticut, not a very high FCS team or right. FBS team, but an FBS team, and they got a win there. They played, by my count, including the playoffs, they've played 8 ranked teams, and they've beat teams in the top 10 in each of the last 3 weeks.
Okay. Because
if anything is going to scare you, it's the fact that they've been playing very good teams. They beat both Eastern teams that people expected to be there, Eastern Illinois, Eastern Washington. So, if anything's going to do it, that's got to be what it is. But
their schedule's been tough.
Yeah. I mean, Stony Brook, New Hampshire, Villanova, Delaware, William & Mary, all top 25 teams. They played more games against top 25 teams than teams that aren't ranked.
So this will be NDSU's 6th ranked opponent when they take on Towson, plus a win against Kansas State, which we cannot overlook. Yep. But
this will be the 9th game against an FBS or against a ranked team for Towson, and they have an FBS game on top of that.
The thing that Towson does that would maybe something for fans to look at. And I had an opportunity. I did the Jack Michaels show today on 740 The Fan, talked to Brent Vegan, the offensive coordinator. I asked him, did you take notice to the first half discrepancies in scores with Towson University?
Mm-hmm.
First half, they're, it's like 123-82, I want to say. They're being outscored in the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, they're outscoring teams 222 to something like 79.
That's correct.
You know, they are a night and day team when it comes to first and second quarter. I asked them a question, so yeah, we looked at that. And the question was, do you look at that and go, okay, we want to get off to a fast start and then try to control the ball? And he said, it kind of goes into that a little bit. We saw that, I think one of the games they had this year against New Hampshire, in fact, New Hampshire came out.
So can I make fun of you a little bit?
Hampshire or Delaware came out and scored 20-some points in the first quarter. Go ahead and make fun of me.
Okay, so you asked Brent Vegan do you want to try and come and score a lot of points right away and then run the ball through the game?
I phrased the question wrong.
Is that how you asked him?
I phrased the question wrong.
Okay.
I can't remember. I've had a long day. Forgive me. I didn't ask the question like that, but there is a sense with this team, and I did frame it in the way that you guys are so good in the second half that it really is never a concern that, hey, we have to come out to a fast start. It's let's feel the team out. Let's not try to force the issue. The question was in a related way that do you guys feel like maybe a fast start will benefit you more than doing what you're normally used to, and that is letting the game come to you? Maybe forcing some things, extending the field, throwing a little bit more downfield. Be aggressive. And he said, yeah, we looked into that. We talked about it. We saw it. It might be something we entertain. Essentially, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. You can go online, 740thefan.com, and check out that full interview. To me, Taliesin's going to be susceptible in the secondary. They give up a lot of passing yards.
Yep.
And with that being said, NDSU, why wouldn't they go out and stretch the field right away? Because if they do that, the aggressiveness of this team, the blitzing-wise, that goes away. Because now you have to deal with, oh, man, they're throwing it all over us. That opens up the running game. Simple math. Math 101, or simple math, simple football 101. But again, it becomes as much as you just hang on to the ball, you get aggressive, you stretch out the defense a little bit, and then you just pound it down the middle. I think Towson is going to be susceptible to this because they are such an aggressive defense. And that all it's going to take is Brock Jensen, a couple quick routes, and boom, there you go. Next thing you know, NDSU's up 7-0 after the first couple drives. And Towson can't get anything going with Terrence West. Teams become so used to the pattern of, especially a team like Towson, Terrence West is going to rip off 20 yards, 40 yards in the first two series.
Yeah.
And it's going to be no problem.
And
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a running back in FCS. And if, I guess if there is a running back in FCS, it's going to be Terrence West. I just don't think there's anybody that's going to run on this team.
Tremendous ability to cut.
The only way that you're running on this team traditionally has been if you are an option team and can disguise it a little bit.
Yes.
If you are, we're going to drop back, hand it off. Yeah, you can cut all you want to, but man, these guys don't miss their gaps.
Some of the cuts he was making against Eastern Illinois were unbelievable. Now, granted, that's Eastern Illinois. No defense.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with this team at the NDSU that's just so much different is this defensive line is so athletic, so big, so strong, so everything, that Terrence West is going to make these cuts, and then there's two bison right there.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's a hole, and, oh, there's Travis Beck. There's Colton Littlejohn.
You don't see guys over pursue.
No,
and,
you don't.
And that's what I said. These guys are so disciplined. They stay where they need to stay. You know that's going to be drilled. That's been drilled this week, this last week and this week. Stay in your gap, and once they get their hands on you, these guys don't miss.
The other thing that came out today was the quarterback situation for Towson University. Yep. Connor Frazier was the backup. He finished the game against Eastern Washington due to a shoulder injury to Peter Athens. Connor Frazier had a big drive towards the end of the game, in fact, scored the winning touchdown against the Eagles and really ripped out every possible great storyline, movie-making storyline we could have had if Eastern Washington would have made the national title game. But Peter Athens today was at practice. I think he actually practiced earlier this past weekend. I talked to Ed Lee, who's the sports writer for the Baltimore Sun. He covers Towson University. Said, as of Friday, and I talked to him this morning, as of Friday, Athens had yet to practice. Now, something may have happened. Saturday, he may have gotten out there, had a chance to practice, and went, yeah, I'm ready to go. his stats aren't one where you go, oh, yeah, he's going to tear it up.
I mean,
3,194 yards, 19 touchdowns, 12 interceptions is what I look at. That's a lot of interceptions.
I mean, not really. It's less than one per game.
Well, and I take that. Okay, I'm very used to Brock Jensen only having like 200 passing attempts in the season and seeing that 12.
I mean,
he's thrown the ball 353 times. So 12 out of 353 is not bad, and especially considering that this team runs the ball a lot. The thing with him is mobility, and that's got to be something that, again, NDSU has just not played well against mobile quarterbacks. It's kind of their history. If he's not able to run that well, is he going to be that effective? In my mind, I don't think so. If he's able to run and get out of the pocket, I've said this before, I'll say it again, same thing with Alex Cobb from Coastal Carolina. He just wasn't willing to run the ball out of the pocket. He wasn't willing to scramble. Got to be willing to scramble. I don't think Athens, looking at his stats, he's not really much of a scrambler. I don't see him being, it wouldn't have mattered if it was Frazier or Athens. The one thing that does matter, it's the senior leadership. But we've seen good quarterbacks get thrown for a loop. That's the one thing with NDSU this year. The only quarterback that's beat him, essentially, was Jake Waters from Kansas State. I think Kiara Harris from Missouri State had a pretty decent game against him, too. But they're not going to get beat by Peter Athens.
Yeah, I don't think so. Frazier's more of a runner than Athens.
He is.
Like I said, it just there's just nothing that concerns me with this team.
I can't
envision something where a running back just goes for a 200 and 250 yard game. I mean, it's hard enough to imagine a running back going for a 100 yard game against this team. And Wes might be talented enough to do that.
And
he's going to get the opportunities to do
that.
Oh,
he will.
But if it gets into a game like you mentioned, where if the Bison get up and if they have to start throwing a little bit, I mean, the way the secondary has played, I mean, CJ Smith.
Yes.
I mean, he's looking like he's going to be a lockdown guy.
He does. He's looking like he's going to fill in just nice when Marcus Williams leaves.
And Dudzik with a couple of picks, you know, in the last game, and being able to with Brian Shepard and his the hitting that he I mean, he's a missile out there.
Oh yeah.
And I'm still amazed that he hasn't gotten ejected from a game yet this year.
Yeah, the secondary for this team, and I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did Shepard?
The first half of a game, it was earlier in the season.
Okay.
And I can't remember what game it was, but I know it was earlier in the season.
Okay.
Because that question was brought up about him leading with his head.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was new to a lot of people because that was a new rule, the leading with your head
or the launching penalty.
I believe. And he got ejected in the first half of a game. And that was the reason he was able to play the next week.
Yeah.
And I believe it was actually an important game coming up. I want to say it was almost close to conference time.
Okay. Anyway.
Regardless. As we go off on a tangent, you're right. There is nothing really about this team that scares you. Defensively, just to give you an idea of how many chances they take, they've got a guy, 11.5 sacks on their team. Another player's got 6, 4.5. They have guys with 17.5 tackles for a loss, 10.5, 8. They have 82 tackles for a loss this year, 41 sacks so far this season, along with 16 interceptions. They're a risk taking defense. NDSU, I think, is going to be able to work off that and work with that and be able to counter it with, you know, balanced offense. Ball control is going to be extremely important. Obviously, we can go through all that again. But, yeah, again, nothing really scares you. I just look at these yardage and passing. 3,704. And last year, I would have said, yeah, that's great. Who's the Jensen that's going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
For the last 14 games, it's been an All-American type performance for Brock Jensen.
By the way, me putting Brock Jensen on the Bison Mount Rushmore preseason
looks a lot
better
now.
That was a great call.
It was.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back a little bit here.
Yeah,
it was a great call.
That was impressive. That was impressive. The question I wanted to ask before we got into this Bison talk, Towson University, of course, for the national championship. The question that I wanted to ask is, if NDSU completes this run, which we fully expect they will, but before that, prediction, do you have a score idea? You want to throw it out there? I'll throw mine out there on Friday.
Okay, let's play a little game here.
What am I going to
have to set the line at for you to take Towson?
17.5.
17.5, and you would take Towson?
To cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would take Towson at 17.5, huh? Every time we've set a line, I've said I've taken the other team and been wrong every time because NDSU blows the other team out.
Right.
I would at 17.5, I would take NDSU.
Okay. To?
To cover, win and cover.
Yeah.
You'd have to set that line very high for me to take Towson.
This is how you feel at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like I would if you set the line at 24, I'm still taking NDSU.
Yeah.
You'd have to get close to 30 before I'd say, well, maybe I'll stick with Towson.
Is NDSU that much better?
I think so.
Than the FCS?
Yes. Yes. I believe they are. And it's not like me. It's not in my nature to make those kind of statements. It's usually in my nature to tell you to calm down when you're making those statements.
Right.
Calm down. Ease up here. Yeah, I think they are. I think they're just that much better than everybody else.
I can't disagree with you, honestly. I mean, I can't. It's just how you feel. Going into that New Hampshire game, people were telling me like 42-10, 49-7. Come on, let's get realistic. What was the final score? 52-14?
Something like that.
Yeah, they were realistic. I was not realistic, evidently. I said 38-7. I could have added a few more touchdowns for NDSU as dominating performance. Say they do all this. Let's play hypothetical, the what-if game, my favorite game to play.
Yeah. One of my least favorites.
I know it is.
Yeah, I know
but
you do.
15-0. Does it matter how much they beat Towson? I think it does, but...
No.
Greatest team in FCS history.
I got to do a lot of homework. I'm not
there
prepared
are two,
to answer that.
From what I remember, I think the FCS or Division I AA came into existence in the 1970s.
Okay. I mean, Marshall's team has got to be up there.
1996
is
an undefeated team,
Moss.
And then a 1989 Georgia Southern team went undefeated as well. And the Marshall team is widely considered the greatest team in the FCS because they had a guy by the name of Randy Moss.
He's good.
And then they had a transfer in from the University of Florida at their quarterback, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. The only thing is that I think that they would be more comparable to that team based on the fact that a lot of people felt that Marshall team, the 96 team, shouldn't have even been in the FCS because the next year they went FBS.
Yeah.
And in today's world, they would have been on a year of,
well,
you know, restriction
you
for the playoffs.
You play by the rules.
The other thing, too, is that every playoff game, including the championship, was in their home stadium. A little bit of a disadvantage there as well. Now, you still have to line up and beat them, regardless of where the game's at, and nobody did. And, you know, Randy Moss is Randy Moss. He's one player. He didn't make a lot of difference. He had a huge championship game. But even with that being said, I'd have to go back and look at the margin of victory, and it's very similar as far as the playoffs could concern between NDSU and Marshall. To me, because of the win against Kansas State, which separates them from these other FCS schools, because they weren't playing FBS opponents. They're playing Division II opponents. Now, NDSU played Ferris State. I'll get that. But I think the win over Kansas State on the road, a team that went 8-4 this year, that makes them, to me, if they win this game, the greatest FCS school. Or a greatest FCS team in the history of the FCS. I'll say it. I'll put my stamp on that.
You go ahead, and that's fine. I'd have to do a little more research. As much as I love this team, I don't like the idea of Chad Pennington throwing to Randy Moss.
Chad Pennington wasn't the quarterback.
I'm sorry. I don't care. Whoever throwing to
Randy
Moss.
Right, exactly.
He made Dante Culpepper and turned Dante Culpepper into a quarterback who's able to have one of the top five quarterbacking seasons in history.
Well, sometimes you fall into, as an FCS team, a guy that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Terrence West was recruited by Clemson and Maryland.
Yeah.
He went to Towson.
But Randy Moss is Randy Moss.
This is true. He's probably going to be an NFL Hall of Famer.
I mean,
Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State. I mean, it's all very relevant. I get that Randy Moss could make that team better than NDSU, but NDSU's collection as a team overall, I'm not going to say, what if Randy Moss of the 96 Marshall Thundering Herd played the Bite? No, that's a dumb question. That's a dumb statement. But
that's essentially what you're trying to do.
You have to look at quality of the opponent then and now, quality of the FCS then and now, how dominant that team was in their schedule. I think all things kind of line up to me that it would be Marshall maybe a little bit higher, but NDSU played Kansas State, and that means a lot because that FBS school wasn't shabby. You saw how they ended the season.
So
So I think that NDSC to
I reserve the right to go either side on that statement because you kind of sprung it on me and I haven't done research. So.
And I'll say this, a nice political answer there. I'll also say this, that if NDSU goes and blows out Towson, absolutely no question in my mind, greatest FCS school. And you'd have to really look back in the annals of the NCAA football history. Could be one of the greatest program years in the history of NCAA football. Just that pure dominance, how they won their games, complete domination throughout the playoffs. That, to me, matters a lot on how they, if they or when they win, because I think they will win against Towson, how badly they beat them. If it's a 34-31 game, then you go, okay, Towson was the other team out there that was really good. If it's like 34-0, not even close, you're going, okay, NDSU could have competed at an FBS level way up there then. So it's a lot of things has to happen first. Has to happen first. NDSU kicks off with Towson. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff. I think Brad Jones, the entire city of Fargo, a lot of Western North Dakota, a lot of Western Minnesota, guys in small towns, bars, taverns, they're all going to be there. I will not be there. It's a little point of, I'm starting to get annoyed at this point. Seeing, oh, we're going to Frisco. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. 20,000 people going to be part of it. Woo! I love my cousin. I am so happy he's getting married on that day.
Let's just move on.
Yes.
That blood vessel in your head, I think, is going to pop here if we don't.
Shortly.
Yeah.
Shortly. Okay, so that's everything pretty much local. I mean, I think this is what we need to say.
Down to Texas, we go to Frisco!
They'll probably be saying that one more time. It's going to be a three-peat for NDSU. I think you and I can both agree on that. And when we talk again next Sunday, we'll probably be talking about next year's prospects, NFL prospects for this team, a lot of those conversations about the NDSU football team going on. But, again, 1 p.m. kickoff, Towson University, NDSU looking for the three-peat, the undefeated season. Now, we'll get to, very quickly,
regional.
And the reason we say regional is Leslie Frazier, the Minnesota Vikings ex-head coach, was fired this morning, let go by the team. 4 seasons with the squad, had some back-to-back years that were, or 2 years sandwiched in between, where the bread with a good season sandwich in between. I'm making bread references on the podcast. That's great. Sandwich references. I think that the reason he gets fired after this bad season, 5-10-1, quarterback situation and defensive ineptitude.
Defense, I think, was the biggest part of it. They were just brutal. I mean, the quarterback situation, I mean, what was he going to do? By the way, not enough has been made about the Josh Freeman debacle. I think that's a story that's been buried because nobody's seen him since he's just been. But the owner spent, whatever, $3 million prorated on him. And he played one game, got taken out, never to be heard from again. Glad Ziggy lit that $2 million on fire. I mean.
Yeah. The guy, if you take out 2012, never had more than 5 wins in a year.
Well,
10-6 last year. The nature of the NFL is such that you have to win now, not for long.
Yep. And you and I differed a little bit coming into this year about the Vikings. I maintain that last year was a fluke. And that this year and the year prior to that were the real Vikings. And you kind of bought into last year a little bit more than I did.
Yeah. I did, because Ponder actually started to play with some consistency.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to happen this year. I thought he was going to play a little bit better. He didn't. And the Freeman thing, it's just, that's why I say that, the quarterback situation was part of it, because they bring him in to do what?
Yeah, that.
And that's
that
on ownership. That's on ownership.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where I was just going to go is before then, I didn't have a whole lot of questions about the ownership. I mean, you know, you whiff on a quarterback, you whiff on Ponder. Okay, stuff happens. I mean, that happens all the time to almost every NFL team. Do they whiff on a quarterback, whiff on a first-round pick? I mean, that happens.
Right.
But when you do that, because that tells me that you didn't have a plan in place. And that you saw, I don't know, something shiny out there, like, oh, we got to go get it. Now what?
Right.
I mean, that's like winning a fantasy football and getting a championship belt. You win the championship belt, now what? I bring it to a podcast.
My God, are you still talking?
Hey, Come on, this would have been a good comparison. And you just completely blew it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I did completely blow it out of the water for you.
But I mean, but seriously, like now I've got this thing. What am I going to do with it?
Not wear it around
yes.
females would be what you should do.
Yeah.
Hide it.
Yes. But exactly. I mean, so, you know, you get this thing, and yeah, it's great. Now what?
Hide it far, far away from
okay.
anybody like
but,
that.
But, you know, we chipped in $10 to get this. They paid $2 million for something that they basically stuffed in their closet
Three.
After
yeah.
Christmas Day. And they played him in a game and had him throw the ball 50 times after a week of being there.
He's like a Sega Dreamcast.
Wow, a Sega Dreamcast. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Looks great. Awesome. You're like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then you play it like this. It's not
yeah, now,
good at
now,
all. Now
so,
what?
So, I mean, to me, that has questions about the ownership that I didn't necessarily have before, that these guys might just do things and not really have a plan, and that scares me a little bit.
Okay. Now, the question becomes, who's the next head coach? And there'll be a lot of speculation, but fantasy worth it. Let's make it an ongoing wager.
Oh, jeez.
Because, I mean, one of us could be right, we both could be wrong. That's it. Either one could be right. We both could be wrong.
I know who I'd like to see.
Let's hear it then.
I'd like to see Lovie Smith, guy Ooh. Who knows the division, had a ton of success with Chicago. He's not a flashy guy, but the guy, he knows what it takes to win in that division. He knows all the teams very well, and he was very, very successful as the head coach of the Bears. I think he would be a really, really good fit. I think he's going to be getting a lot of phone calls.
Okay,
this offseason.
Lovie Smith.
So I'll take Lovie Smith.
Okay. I need to write this down because I've been having trouble. Remember, we have some lost ongoing wagers. I have to look back and
listen. Don't you have
to
an intern that you can make listen to all 24 of the previous podcasts?
Man, if I had an intern, things would be awesome. Life would be. I would be not here. I'd be somewhere else. If I was high enough up at a job where I had an intern, this podcast probably wouldn't exist. I'm not going to lie to you. Unless you were my intern. Then we would do the podcast,
okay,
and we would call it the
okay.
Pinto and Intern Show.
Yeah, the
Anyways.
Day I was your intern, that'd be a cold day.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no kidding. But that'd be awesome even so. Okay, Lovie Smith for you.
Yeah.
And I want to look up John Gruden's.
Oh, stop it.
Ties.
Stop it. John Gruden is not
Minnesota
coming
Vikings.
To Minnesota.
Shh, shh,
please,
shh.
Please pick him, just for my sake. But he is my... Oh.
Okay, I'm just looking at ties.
Out of your mind.
Looking at ties. He was an offensive assistant in Green Bay for a while.
Out of your mind.
It's about as close as we get to him being.
That's like the delusional Gopher fans who thought they were going to, last time their job opened up, that they were going to get Dungy to come and coach him.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, the hot assistants out there, offensively, defensively.
Ken Whisenhunt is a name that's being brought up a lot.
Ken Whisenhunt is. What about Josh McDaniels?
His name's been brought up a couple of times.
Now, the question is that you want to get this set in place because draft-wise, the Vikings are in a tough spot. They're the eighth pick in the draft, and there's two spots where I think they're going to desperately need to address, defensive line and quarterback. The issue is, do you feel comfortable at the number eight spot getting your guy?
What did I hear? That one of the mock drafts has the Carr kid out of Fresno State going to Minnesota at eight?
It's not David Carr.
It is not. It's his younger brother.
Dave Carr. I have no idea. It's
yeah.
one of the Carrs.
Yes, it's David Carr's younger brother. Austin Carr? Is that right?
Hang on.
Hang on. We're hanging.
We'll look it up because I know okay. I want to say it starts with a D.
Anyway, but that's the guy in the initial mock that's obviously going to change and won't be right.
You don't think so? I mean,
it's a possibility, certainly, but the mock
Derek,
drafts, I mean,
Derek Carr.
I
but,
was not close.
You know, the mock drafts are what they are. They're just people just
yeah.
kind of hanging out,
yeah.
figuring out. What about Brock Jensen? I could see him being the... yeah, exactly. No, to get serious about it, whatever the quarterback is at eight, that eventually they go, okay, we can get him at eight. The Vikings have to be absolutely sure.
Yes.
I mean...
As
I don't
sure
know
as
if
you can be.
I don't know if they're absolutely sure on Christian Ponder. I think they just felt the desperation to get that quarterback at that point, more
yeah.
so than...
Because all reports were they had their eyes set on Locker.
Right.
And then he went, and then all of a sudden it was...
We need somebody.
Yep.
They scrambled. So what you need to do if you're the Vikings is you need to, A, get that coach in place, and I'll go with Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
Just because you went with Lovie Smith. But the other part is that you need to make sure that that is the guy. I mean... I will accept a miss on the fact that, well, you know, he didn't pan out to be a quarterback. I don't accept the fact that Christian Ponder was a miss and nobody, I felt like, was really sold that much on him, and it was more of a, we need a quarterback now. Relax a little bit, and if anything, these past drafts have proven stuff. Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, they were not first-round guys.
Okay. How about we go, let's do this. And this is an article I saw on ESPN.com earlier. There's, what, 6 job openings right now.
Okay. Are we moving to national right now?
No, because the Vikings are kind of tied in with
okay,
this.
Okay, we'll stay regional.
Cleveland, Washington, Detroit, Houston, Tampa, and Minnesota.
Okay.
Where would you rank the Vikings as far as how good of a job?
Oh, boy. Tampa.
Okay, so
Hang on, I'm trying to think here.
Yep. So would you, Houston or Minnesota?
Houston.
Okay.
Better job.
Okay. Washington or Minnesota?
Washington, better job. Okay. Barely, but they have the talent. Okay. And the guy willing to spend for it.
Cleveland or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Okay. Tampa Bay or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Disagree.
Because of the quarterback situation?
Because I think Tampa's really talented. I mean, I think they got a lot of good players, and I think they're going to be a playoff team next year.
Okay.
Detroit or Minnesota?
Oh, Detroit.
Okay. So you put Minnesota...
Fourth. I said the Browns were worse, and I said the Bucks were worse.
Oh, you said the Bucks were worse. That's right. Okay, so you had them fourth. That's where this guy, the guy on ESPN.com, has them, although he has Tampa one spot higher, and he's actually got Washington one spot lower than
and
the
I
Bucks.
Think the reason he was because the whole owner situation there, it's a joke.
Yep.
But yep. I mean, they have a quarter, and again, it's all about, well, the quarterback's essentially the owner's lapdog. Yeah.
So, kind of the point is, okay, of these hot assistants... You know, where exactly do the pieces fit in? Now, if the talk is true that O'Brien from Penn State ends up going to Houston, there's been a lot of chatter about that. If that ends up happening, that leaves Lovie Smith, that leaves Josh McDaniels, that leaves Ken Whisenhunt as guys out there potentially as the next guy. And now, Right. Where if they're offered more than one of those jobs, where do the Vikings fall in that pecking order? And I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. No, I understand. I like your point. And the other thing, too, is... with the Vikings, they have some time. I mean, you have the best running back in the league still. You have a guy in Patterson who's emerging. He's going to be a lot of fun once he gets his receiving skills down,
okay,
his technique and his fundamentals.
Okay. Stop.
What?
Stop right there.
Oh,
once he gets that down, how many guys are there out there that never happens for?
There's quite a few.
A ton.
Right, like a Devin Hester.
Dante Hall, Oz Akeem. I mean, there's a ton of guys who, oh, yeah, they're really fun. Now, I'm hoping you're wrong, but I'm just saying, I think there's, and I don't know if you're one of those guys or not, but I think there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, yeah, well, he's that great. He's great doing that. So he's obviously going to become a great receiver. And just slow down a little bit on that, because a lot of times that doesn't happen.
I think it will for him, just based on some of the games that he's had. He seems like a better receiver than those other guys. And
based
on the fact that size-wise, I think he's bigger. I think he could be a bigger and better receiver than those guys. You think of Dante Hall and Ozzie, they're smaller
guys.
And
true.
They're slot guys that were really quick.
Yep.
The other part of it, too, is that, were they really good receivers in college? Or were they just really fast guys?
That's a fair question, and I don't know that.
And so Patterson is a guy that was drafted high. He has developed his first year. It didn't take him a while. It wasn't like Dante Hall first year in was amazing. It took him a while. And then caught lightning in a bottle. Devin Hester, a lot of people knew that he was an athlete. They didn't think that he was necessarily going to be a corner or a wideout. They knew he could be on the field and do a lot of things. Even so, his ability to stretch a defense out of the backfield, and you get him in open space, it just becomes an offensive coordinator that can use that to his advantage.
There's a lot of those guys, though, if you get them in space. Well, yeah, no kidding. If you get somebody, and if you get almost anybody in space, that's pretty good. They're going to be able to do something with it. It's will he develop the route running skills that are going to make him more than he's a good novelty to have, but he's a novelty.
I think that eventually he'll be more than just a
novelty.
I
hope so. I hope you're right, because Percy Harvin kind of started out a little bit like that.
Yeah, he did.
Where he was a kick and punt returner, and he was great, and he developed into more. And I'm hoping that's where what ends up happening with Patterson. But we'll see. I'm just saying my point is for the people who are assuming, oh yeah, since he's great on his six touches a game that he gets, that means that he's going to turn into a 1,200 yard, 10 touchdown receiver type. Slow down.
Yeah. Oh no, I see.
That's just the point I'm making.
He's a guy to work with, and he's a guy that makes you excited to be a coach.
Oh yeah.
So we'll move on from that. I'm seeing here that Voice Guy's national part is gone. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah.
National.
Boom, there we go. That works for me. The coaches that you mentioned in the NFL that got fired.
Yes.
Let's see if we can go through this. It was Gary Kubiak of Houston, and there was Rob Chizinski of Cleveland Browns, and then it was Leslie Frazier, then it was Mike Shanahan, and then it was Greg Schiano of Tampa Bay and Shanahan of Washington Redskins, and then it was Jim Schwartz.
Yes.
Of the Detroit Lions.
Yes. So all three of my guys that were on my final rankings for coaches being fired, gone.
Schiano was a guy that I had gone. Who else did I have gone? I had Frazier gone.
You had Frazier, and you've had Mike Smith on your list for
a while. And I don't think it's over yet.
I still think you were way off base with Smith. I don't think there was ever. I don't think there's even questions out there about him.
All right.
Think the guys that there are questions out there about are Mike Munchak in Tennessee.
Yep.
Dennis Allen in Oakland.
Yep.
Jason Garrett, I think, of your Cowboys. those are three guys that I think there's still a decent chance that they get. I think there's still. Why am I? I'm just stumbling here. There needs to be an announcement one way or another on those guys.
I would like to see Jason Garrett. Stick around a little longer.
Really?
I'm a little emotional about it right now, just trying to pick up the pieces. It was a heartbreaking loss. Anyways, Jason Garrett, I think, will stick around one more year. I think offensively, if you'd run the ball a little bit more.
But again, who's calling the plays?
That's true. Romo or Garrett or Jerry Jones, who knows? That whole situation is messed up. I think he'll stick around one more year there on the contract. I don't know if there's a coach out there that can make that team good with Jerry Jones
as
the
now
GM.
Now, if anybody is going to lure your boy John Gruden.
My boy John Gruden. It'd be Jones.
I think.
But Gruden would have to have complete control.
And that's, John Gruden would basically have to convince Jerry Jones that he's Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
That's what Gruden would have to do.
Yep.
And if anybody can do it, it's John Gruden.
The other thing, too, is he better get on board now because Romo's not getting any younger. Neither is Jason Witten.
Yes.
And you've got maybe two more years with those guys, maybe.
Before you have to start going into a little bit of rebuilding mode unless you get the next guy in there.
Right, exactly. So there's always that part of it where you got to go. There's a window there. Anyways, there's some questions out there. Which one surprised you the most? Of all of them.
Yeah. Probably Chudzinski.
Me too.
Because I think all five of the other guys at some point were on my top three list.
And I just didn't think after one year he's going to get fired.
Yeah, I didn't either. Interesting. It's interesting that after a year, but there's always, it seems like that happens every year. Where somebody after one year that you don't really expect to go does.
Right.
So yeah, that one surprised me a little bit. Like I said, the other five, those were five I were banking on. I was banking on because I went over on 7.5 coaches that would get fired. So.
And it was under.
Well, but it's not over yet. You can go back and listen to the wager. I didn't say Black Monday.
It should have been Black Monday.
I made it very clear.
That is one of the wagers. Yep. I have to go back and grab that. That is one of the wagers. Thank you for remembering that.
There
okay. NFL playoffs. So that's the big deal. Start next weekend, or this weekend, I should say. Saturday, let's see if I can remember this now. It's Chiefs, Colts, Saints.
Saints play the Eagles.
Eagles, thank you.
That's going to be a fun game.
Oh, Eagles will win by 14.
Wow. 14? Really?
Something like that. New Orleans does not play well, A, outside, B, away from the Superdome.
You do realize that they have the most road wins in the NFL since 09, right?
How have they done this year on the road? This year. I don't care about since 09 because that... Sure, it includes 2013, but this year, how have they done on the road? What are they this year? 11-5?
We're going. Do we have music for looking up NFL standings somewhere in there?
I'm going to have to, with all the times that we have to look up stuff, I may have to.
We need to put something in there.
Yeah, we do.
Or start doing our homework ahead of time.
Right, well, that's part of it as well.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah. Whew. Let's slow our roll.
Sorry, I got to slow down a little
bit.
Slow
our roll. Okay. At Tampa Bay, 16-14 victory. Lost at New England, 30-27.
Just give me the
lost
record.
Lost at the Jets, 26-20. Lost at the New York Jets, 27-20. Lost at Seattle, 34-7. Lost at St. Louis, 27-16. Lost at Carolina, 17-13. All their losses this year, at 11-5, came on the road.
Okay.
That's a 3-5 record on the road.
Okay.
The best places that they've played on the road, 26-18 against Chicago. Looking here quickly, Dallas, well, that was at home. They crushed them. Georgia Dome, they beat the Atlanta Falcons 17-13. One more road victory here would have been. I'm not seeing it here. I must
Buffalo.
Have, Buffalo.
34-31 in overtime.
Well, that was. Which game are you looking?
No. Oh, no, I'm looking. Whoops. Yeah,
are you looking at
wrong.
A different year? Raymond James Stadium against Tampa Bay, 16-14.
Okay.
They don't play well outside of the Mercedes. 3-5. Who cares? They have the most road wins since 2009. This year, 5 road losses.
Okay.
Philadelphia, team emerging, 14. 2 scores. 14-2 scores. I know it's a difference because 2 scores could be 9 points. I'll say 14.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Do I like that you say Philly? The line is Philly minus 2.5. No, I think you're nuts.
I think the NFL wants New Orleans to be a good team, and the bettors out there want this to be a good team because Drew Brees is your guy, and just I hate the Saints. I hate them.
How? Why?
Because they're overhyped.
They're 11-5. They win, like, every year.
Yeah. Win what?
A Super Bowl.
What was that again? 2006?
No, I believe it was 2009.
The Super Bowl? Hold on. I don't know if it was 2009.
Sure it was, because I remember watching the game from a hotel. It was the 2010 Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that was the year with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. 2009. So what, 5 years now?
Okay, 4. But...
Right. So I'm just saying, I hate the Saints.
God. I understand hating some teams. They're a team that's won a Super Bowl. They've got a quarterback who's one of the most likable guys in the
hate
league.
Drew
They've
Brees.
Got the bet. Why?
Because.
Based on what?
Just I don't like him. Just like I don't like Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers is kind of a. He's kind of a. he's well known to be not always a very pleasant person.
Okay, I don't know these guys, so I'm just based off of the fact that I think that these. There's certain teams that they go out, NFL will go out of its way because people seem to attach onto them, and they're a good story. They're a feel-good story. The Saints are one of those teams where I go, I'm sick of them. And the other part of it, is that if I'm seeing that they're 2.5-point favorites or they're 2.5-point underdogs.
That means that Vegas thinks that the Saints are a half point better than Philly.
Exactly, which is nuts. Because if you base it off of how they've done on the road and not just their losses, but their victories have been ugly, you have to go New England by, I'll give them 5 at the least. That's how I think it should be done. You can't just look at a team and go, well, they went 11-5. Okay, cool.
No,
they went
11-5.
How many of those did they win away from the home, away from the Superdome?
Okay.
And of those road wins, how many of those road wins were against good teams?
Okay, and that's fair. Those are fair points to make. But I don't get a dislike of the Saints.
Don't like the Saints.
I don't get that.
Don't like the Saints. Okay, so the other one was KC Indianapolis. Let's just go through it. Let's just have fun with this. Who do you have? We don't do a lot of who do you have. Maybe we do. I don't know. But KC.
That's a tough one because this Indianapolis team has been impossible to figure out this year.
Up and down.
Up and down. I'm going to say Kansas City, but I don't feel good about it.
Why?
I don't feel good about it. I think they're a more steady team. So okay. I'm going to take the slow and steady wins the race. I think Jamaal Charles is incredible.
Yes.
Alex Smith is great.
Yes.
I think Andy Reid's been re-energized by all the Kansas City barbecue. I think that they're...
Is that a fat joke?
Yes.
That was a fat... Okay.
Yes.
I wish I had the Kool-Aid Man sounder right now.
I'm taking the more consistent team.
Colts, if you must know.
I mean, the Colts have the best wins, I think, of anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, early on in the year.
Yeah, they
won some very impressive games, and of course I have to check out the schedule on the fly. But would they have a win against Seattle?
They beat Seattle. They beat San Francisco. And why do I want to say? Did they beat Denver?
I think they did in Indy. Let's check out their full schedule because I believe that was one of their wins.
But I mean, they've got the most impressive wins of anybody.
Here are who they've beaten so far this year. They beat Oakland, lost to Miami at home, then beat San Francisco in San Francisco handedly, beat Seattle at home, lost to San Diego where they only had 9 points, then beat Denver before the break at home.
So I mean, and
got
really,
dominated by St. Louis at home, and then almost lost to Tennessee. Got throttled by Arizona.
To be fair, you can stop there. Those three wins make you have the most impressive wins of any team in the league.
Right. Here's the other part of it too. 2 weeks ago, they beat KC.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, 23-7. Andrew Luck, Colts. I got it.
Okay.
I'll take them.
I would not lock that game in.
No.
But I would pick KC.
Yeah. But you're right when you say up and down year because. Me, I just look at some of these games, and that Houston game they should have lost because they were down a ton at halftime, and then Gary Kubiak goes down with symptoms of a stroke, and Houston just lost their bearing in that game. So that's why...
By Indy favored by 2 in that game.
And they're at home.
Yes.
Vegas is keeping things extremely close.
Yep.
But I get that one more so than I get the Philadelphia-New Orleans game. All right, the other ones next week or this weekend, Sunday.
So we got Cincy, San Diego.
Oh, love me some Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Cincinnati. Because
I am playing the Chargers. I'm not a fan of the Chargers.
Okay.
They lose. They underachieve every year. And the backdoor way that they ended up getting into the playoffs.
They had to have everybody lose, and they did have everybody lose. Even after the fact that they should have lost against Kansas City.
Yes.
When Kansas City, they had an illegal formation on a field goal. And
although, to be fair, it's just funny how things work out. Because people are so upset. Man, that should have been called. And if they would have called that and Casey would have gotten to re-kick and would have won the game on that, that's the stupidest rule that's out there. My gosh, how can a game be decided on that call?
Yeah.
You know people would have been upset either way, and I just find that to be hilarious that there's no way that the NFL could win in that situation.
So I'm taking Cincy.
Cincy's favored by 6.5. Give me the Bengals all day.
Oh, yeah. I love me some Andy Dalton. San Francisco.
You and your gingers.
I love it.
Big fan of the gingers.
San Francisco, Green Bay. This game, I have San Francisco. But you can't. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is back, baby. Mm-hmm. And you just can't be like, oh, San Francisco by a couple touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers.
San Francisco is favored by 2.5.
Makes sense.
So basically, they're saying San Fran, they think, is
5.5 points
better than. Which, yeah. So
it makes sense. San Francisco's best game of the year was like game one against Green Bay or two, whatever that was, where Kaepernick went insane, had like 400 yards of offense. I think San Francisco, again, is my Super Bowl favorite. I like Cincinnati out of the AFC, and here's why. And I've been saying it all day. New England doesn't have Gronkowski. Big difference in their passing game. That's your safety blanket if you're Tom Brady. Cincinnati would have to go to New England and beat them. Not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
However, I would say, yeah, I think Cincy can win that game. I think that offensively Cincinnati has two running backs that can control the ball. I think Andy Dalton is going to hit a hot streak, and I think they're going to win that game.
I think they're a year away yet from making that step.
Okay.
I think
it's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, It's a big leap for them to go from where they've been to putting them in the Super Bowl now. I think that's what we kept trying to do with Houston, was they're just going to make this big, giant leap, and that just doesn't happen very often. I think there'd be a strong case to make for them next year if they win a game, maybe even two games this year.
Okay.
But that leap just doesn't usually happen. They've got a good young core. I love that Giovanni Bernard. I think he's an exciting guy out of the backfield. AJ Green's obviously phenomenal. They've even got a couple of other good, Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones. They've got a couple of good guys at receiver. I think they're a year away yet. I would still take, and we talked about this a little, I talked about this with a couple of buddies a little bit earlier. If you made me pick a team from each conference, I'd pick the one seeds. I would pick Seattle and I would pick Denver. But if you said they both, you can have it end up being they both make it or one of those teams loses, I would say one of those teams loses, but I don't have a clue who.
Denver, I think, is susceptible because...
Denver's more susceptible, but their conference is worse.
Really?
Oh, the AFC? I think the AFC is worse than the NFC.
I was thinking division when you said that. And I'm thinking more so in the fact
that...
Well,
to be fair, their division got three playoff teams.
Right.
I mean...
And I don't know if the AFC is worse. You look at the records
yes,
of how...
Is. Come on.
Look at the division winners. Maybe I'm just thinking the Eagles got in at 10-6. I was thinking they were 9-7, which 10-6.
But you just
bad.
Told me you told me earlier you can't just look at the
hang
records.
Hang on.
We're not going to do.
Immediately regret this decision.
There.
Thank you.
Okay. I was wrong.
But I think if you just look at the top, I think if you look
Seattle,
at the
San Francisco,
Seattle,
New Orleans, yes,
and
yes.
Not even New Orleans. If you want to take those off, that's fine. Carolina.
You look
at those three teams versus Denver, Cincy, New England?
Yeah, okay. So, okay. Again, like I said.
Wrong.
Okay, I'm happy.
Thank you. Anyways, I think Denver is susceptible overall because no Von Miller. I think offensively they might be okay, and I do believe the weather's going to play a factor. I buy into that.
Of course you do.
Of course. But Von Miller not being there is a big deal. Much bigger than the weather.
I agree.
So... For them, yes. San Francisco still, to me, a favorite. I think they can get past Seattle and Carolina. San Francisco, Cincinnati, Super Bowl. I'm not going to lock it in, but I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's our NFL. We've got, looking at the first round, I have Indianapolis. You have KC.
Yes.
I have Cincinnati. You have Cincinnati. I have San Francisco. You have
San Francisco.
I have Philadelphia by 14, and you have New Orleans. I don't think we ever decided. I think you just got upset about the fact that I hated the Saints.
Yes. I never did make a pick there.
Like I've personally hurt you or something.
Man, I feel like...
I might have talked you into this being an Eagle game.
No, you didn't really need to talk me into it, because I kind of thought that Seattle would win, or not Seattle, but that Philly would win.
Napoleon Dynamite's a quarterback for Philadelphia. How do you not go wrong? He looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
I can't stand that movie.
No, well, neither can I.
Okay.
But he looks like he'd be that guy at personality. Just kind of, whoa. Hey. I'm Nick Foles. I throw footballs.
I wouldn't lock. I won't put this on to lock mama. It in either, but just for the sake of discussion, I'll take New Orleans.
Ah, of course you will. All right. We'll keep track of that. I say that now. I should keep track of it. Looking at our ongoing wager, picking who is going to make the playoffs. We started with the...
I know, and I had Pittsburgh going.
We started with the AFC. The White Shadow had New England winning their division and Denver winning their division. Got those two right. So the winners of the North and the South, Pittsburgh and Houston,
Pittsburgh should have been in the playoffs.
2-2. No, you got to get the division winner right.
No, I'm just saying of total playoff teams.
Okay, so you got the Colts right, but they won the South.
Yep.
And the Ravens you got wrong. So
I had three of the six playoffs.
You had three
teams.
Of the
Not
six.
Good.
Three of the six. Your AFC champ is still in.
Yes.
I picked correctly New England, Cincinnati, Denver, and I picked the Colts right. I got Houston and Baltimore wrong.
Okay.
So I went 4-6.
So you had four.
Okay. For the NFC, you had the Giants wrong.
That was not good.
Packers right.
Yep.
Falcons wrong.
That was not good.
49ers as the West winner, along with the Seattle Seahawks and Redskins. So you had... Three of six.
Yeah, it's not good. 6-12 is not good.
Yeah, okay, here we go with this. Actually, I didn't do so bad. I actually did the same as you, but it was a really dysfunctional way.
Okay.
I had the Cowboys way to the East,
not
which
good.
They, no.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
The Vikings way to the North. the Falcons winning the South, but I had the Niners, the Packers, and the Seahawks. So I had 3 of 6. Okay. And my Super Bowl NFC person.
None of them in the right spot.
No.
But you did have.
I did have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't have the Saints, Panthers, or who's the other team now?
Eagles.
Eagles. Didn't have the Eagles. So there we go. I ended up getting 7 of 12, and you went 6 of 12.
That's not good.
I'm over 500%, baby. I win.
I 500. 500.
I win. I like being 500. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. All right. Marcus in Mayville, as we run long on the 025 podcast, and thank you for listening, by the way. Here was his comment on the last podcast. He's a Mayville State guy. We took a shot at the comments. He can't blame us for that, although the NDSU or the Mayville State women's basketball team was pretty decent. I can't remember the shot we took at it last week, honestly.
I'm sure it was well-deserved.
Probably. Calls me insane because he says Mark Madness trumps. I will admit, though, I know Marcus. He's a big-time basketball guy.
Okay.
So, I don't know. His question is, and this will be our NBA question, very light and fluffy one.
Okay.
The nicknames on jerseys in the NBA. And we'll wrap that up with, or roll it all to one as the alternate jerseys in the NBA.
The ones with the tight ones with the sleeves.
Yes.
Yeah, those are ugly.
Oh,
they're not
baby.
Good.
No.
Not good.
Not good at all.
No.
Why? Okay, here's the question. What would the ultimate alternate jersey be? Or no, that's a bad question. I got a better. Your favorite alternate jersey of all time of any team.
So now are we talking like current ones now that are used as throwbacks? Or
yes, that could be the throwback ones, I mean, ones that were used back in the day.
Because I'm a big fan of the throwback Orlando Magic jerseys.
Okay, the ones they wore with like Nick Anderson and Penny Hardaway.
Shaq, and then I'm a big, big fan of those.
Okay. Now I need to think a little bit about this. However, I'm gonna keep it close to home.
Okay.
The original Toronto Raptor jerseys.
That's not close to home. That's close to your team.
Well, that's what I mean, close to home. The original Toronto Raptor jerseys.
That's a good choice.
With the big Raptor on the front and the pinstripes going down. Love those jerseys.
I like that. I'm on board. A close
second to me would be the Timberwolf ones.
Mm.
I liked, now I'm trying to remember, the green ones that they wore.
But the other one that I had thought of were the old school Detroit Piston jerseys from when Grant Hill was there.
Oh, those like
they were kind of the turquoise. Those
are the worst looking jerseys in the world.
Here's what I don't get about the new alternate jerseys from the NBA. What's the goal of doing something like that in general with the NBA?
Oh, I'd tell you what the goal is.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you.
Adidas. It was Adidas' idea.
That's not what I'm asking, though. What's new alternate jerseys, what in general is the NBA's goal with that?
Nothing. Adidas came to him and said, we want to pitch this idea to you. We already have paid a bunch of money to be the official jersey.
See, I think there is a goal with these alternate jerseys.
What is it?
It's to make money. It's to sell jerseys. And that's what I don't get about these, because nobody in their right mind, when you got a bunch of flabby, out of shape people like you and me that are NBA fans, there's not a chance you're stuffing me into one of those jerseys.
They want to make them look like t-shirts as, oh, I'm wearing a real jersey. To me, it is all about the fact that Adidas had this prototype and said, hey, we can put it on the NBA players now because we own NBA jerseys.
True, and that's how it happened, but I don't understand, because generally you do with these alternate jerseys, you do things like the throwbacks and three different colored jerseys so that you can sell more jerseys.
Right, no, I understand
that. But you're not selling these to the common person. That's why I disagree with using these as those jerseys, not just because they're horribly ugly.
And I'm sure somewhere in the NBA they were having a meet and go, really? These are the jerseys? Wait, what was the amount Adidas is going to pay? Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. They're going to be awful, but no.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, that's fine. That's a TV deal, right? Go ahead, put those on through. Yeah, I agree. I think they're the worst jerseys in the world.
Yes.
Worst jerseys in the world. And they'll get rid of them after this year.
Hope so.
I hope so, too. I think that they really need to continue with like the old throwback jerseys and just kind of mix and match those things. Those are the ones to me that I like. The nicknames on the jerseys. Now, those I would buy.
And that's, again, straight capitalism. You bet.
That is a good idea because the NBA is known for nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to agree. I mean,
nicknames these days are terrible.
George Gervin was.
He's the Iceman.
Exactly. Karl Malone?
The Mailman.
Exactly. How cool would it be to have, like, Mailman?
Like Daryl Dawkins. Chocolate Thunder.
Exactly.
You know, or the human highlight reel.
Yep.
I mean, the legend, Larry Legend.
I mean,
nicknames nowadays are terrible.
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't even know if they're a CP3.
I mean, but again, hey, you got his initials and number. Great creativity right there. I mean, you got the Black Mamba with Kobe, but I think he gave that to himself, which is a little bit lame. you know, I mean.
Well, you could just put his first name on the back and be like Ichiro.
T-Mac. Great work. You used his name.
I mean,
there's really no good nicknames in the NBA anymore. Maybe Marcus from Mayville can help me out if I'm forgetting. I mean,
Shuttleworth for Ray Allen.
But
that's the one he's going to wear for 4 games this year.
Okay.
I love that.
Sure.
A little shout out to his movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie character, but,
right.
You know, that's not really a nickname.
No, it's not.
But I mean, who's
King?
You got King with LeBron. Okay, that's... Okay, that's decent.
Right. We're going to see a nickname that we're not going to understand that was given to him by a teammate that means
probably
something really bad, and we're going to go, why,
okay.
Why does he have that nickname? Ah, because this one time he was doing this thing, and this happened.
Yeah.
Wow, that is very bad. That should not be on the back of a jersey, now that I know what it means.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, and that's a whole other discussion, that nicknames in the NBA these days and just sports in general are
nicknames,
terrible.
Yeah, nicknames are not good. I can't even think about... Megatron.
Megatron's pretty good.
Megatron's a pretty good nickname.
And Young Jeezy for Greg Zuerlein, which when you go to a kicker,
Young Jeezy.
Yeah, his initials are Jeezy.
Oh,
so they call him Young Jeezy, or they call him Legatron was another one that they used for him.
That's a ripoff.
He is a ripoff, exactly. But there's just not a lot of great nicknames out there.
No. There isn't. The White Shadow.
The White Shadow.
And Pinto. Those are two
there we
extremely
go.
Oh, good.
We bring it all full circle.
Name. So thank you again for listening to the 025 podcast here on KFGO.com of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Make sure and check us out on iTunes. We'll be there. Make sure and check us out. Again, like I said, KFGO.com. We post this on Facebook. We tweet it out. And if you want to find us on Twitter, you can follow me at PintoKFGO. You can follow Brad Jones.
I'm at the Bison Guy.
Make sure to stay tuned for that. Brad Jones will be traveling to Frisco this weekend. We're probably going to talk to him Sunday morning if he is over whatever type of hangover he has, whether it be booze-induced or victory-induced.
Well, yeah, it won't be the former because we'll be getting back to town Sunday morning at about 8 or 9.
Oh, boy.
We're driving all night.
Oh, boy.
Last year, I got the graveyard driving shift from 9:30, 10 o'clock p.m. through 4 a.m. through Oklahoma, Nebraska, that stretch.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we'll be talking to a very tired Brad Jones next Sunday, but he'll give us the lowdown, what Frisco was like, all the activities, all the festivities. Anthony Morrison, congratulations. I am so happy that you're happened to fall on January 4th.
Just smile a little bit. Just smile a little bit. There
so
you
happy.
Go.
So happy. So, again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Hey, life